Powerline Productions wants to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. Because of this, we offer a wide variety of books and ebooks about homeschooling, homeschool classes, and Bible study workshops like Real Men Build. Pastor Mike and Meredith Curtis, along with their daughter Katie Beth Curtis, have written this comprehensive Bible study to help men of all ages grow in leadership in the home, in the church, and in the world. Learn more at powerlineprod.com. That's powerlineprod.com. Powerline Productions, being world changers, raising world changers.
What are those priceless gifts that money can't buy? Well, I can tell you one of the first is the gift of time, creating memories with your children. The next priceless gift is teaching your child the value of spending time with God. In the novel, A Few Minutes with God, written for children and teens, the story unfolds about a struggling family and the gift of hearing God and the outcome, which is a wonderful blessing from the Lord. Your children will want to pray and spend time listening to God after reading this book. Visit mediaangels.com for more information.
This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hey everyone, welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz with Meredith Curtis on the line. Meredith, it's been a little while, so welcome back.
Oh, I'm so excited to be back, Felice, and really looking forward to talking about date nights today. So that's going to be exciting.
Well, it is exciting, especially since you and I are vintage moms in that you've completed your homeschool journey.
Yes.
And you've got grandbabies now and one kid, right? Your youngest is in college.
Yeah, well, my younger two are in college.
Oh, and two.
And then I have two grandsons, and I have another on the way. So
wonderful. Well, that's a beautiful, beautiful news. And then I have a youngest who is dual enrolled. He's still, you know, homeschool, high school, and then taking classes at the local college, and a daughter in college, and then three adult children. So we are in a different place when we're talking about date nights than maybe we were when our kids were younger. So I'm going to share some things that we did, you know, creative when our kids were younger, and also, you know, what we try to do right now. And I have to tell you, I have a very unromantic husband. One of the first things he told me about, which, you know, and I still went out with him afterwards, was that he was telling me about this girl one time who made him a candlelight dinner, and he asked her if she would turn the lights on, and she started crying. And I said to him, of course, I stood up for this poor girl. I said, "That is horrible." I said, "You know, here she, you know, spent all this time and everything." And he was telling me this in because he wanted to let me know that in the future of going out with him, if I was thinking about doing anything like that, that to kind of you know, hold off on the romance. So I thought this is going to be an interesting relationship here with this man. He is impulsive, so he did surprise me when we were still young in our relationship. He bought a balloon vendor's all of the balloons that he had in his bunch of balloons as he was leaving somewhere. I don't know how he found this at some parade or something, I don't know, but I remember him showing up at my house with this huge, massive amount of balloons, handing them to me and just saying, I'm sorry, I got to go run. I'm working out at the gym, but I wanted to bring you these. I'll pick you up for dinner later. Leaving.
That's so cute. You know? Oh, my goodness.
So it's just like, you know, so I had explained all that to my father when he came home way later that night. I was really happy that helium balloons deflate and they don't stay, you know. I have to tell you, though, I still have some of those balloons in my jewelry drawer. So, you know, I think we keep these things as reminders. But, you know, we're going to, you know, discuss both. And I'm going to actually let you start, you know, with date night and maybe just a little bit about why is it important to spend time alone with our husbands?
Well, you know, when we were first married, of course, we did everything together and we loved to talk and sit and, you know, drink coffee and talk about, you know, how work had gone and all these different things. But children change everything. And I remember being a young mom with several little ones and, you know, like if they would get sick, we would be awake all night taking care of them. But even on a good week, we didn't get as much sleep as we wanted, and we definitely didn't get a lot of time to sit and talk with each other because he was busy. And in the early years, he went to seminary, and we did not have a dime to rub together. And so, and I'll talk about, that's why I'll be able to share some really cheap, fun, romantic things that we did that cost very little money. But the reason that we started a date night was because we needed to remember that we weren't just mom and dad, but that we were a couple, a man and a woman who loved each other. And I know that sounds silly, but when you have little tiny ones, you can forget that. And if you don't cultivate that and keep it alive, by the time your children are a little older, you've kind of lost that romantic relationship. So date nights were a way for us to spend time together. And then as we got older and, you know, we didn't necessarily need the time away, they were a time for us to say, okay, we're not going to talk about problems at home. We're not going to talk about problems at the church. We're not going to talk about all the needs. We're just going to talk about fun things, and we're just going to be a couple. And so I think that's important for us in our marriage to keep that coupleness, that sense that we're two people who love each other. And yes, we have all these different roles, but at the heart of it, our relationship really matters.
And that is so true. And I wanted to let you know that you can get the show notes on this episode, which is Date Nights on the Cheap. It's podcast 253. And then you can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. And Meredith, we're going to share some of your books, and then I'm going to share, you know, about where you can get some of mine a little bit later. But that what you're saying is really important because I've seen so many marriages grow apart, and I sadly, and you can probably attest for this too, I have a lot of friends. I've lived in this town, you know, my whole married life, and I have to say that I maybe have one or two friends who have not necessarily a number of years, although both of them have been married very close to the same number of years, one about four more years than we have. But very few people that I know have what I call the same kind of relationship. And what that means is, you know, you're not, it's like the pettiness is gone, the little arguing about every little thing, that you're comfortable with each other, that if you walk into a room, you know, a party, let's say, you know, you can look across the room and smile at each other. You know, it's just there's, you know, the little looks across the room. There's the wanting to be together. There's the, you know, just I can say I'm more in love with my husband now than I was when I got married, you know, and that's what we want to, you know, emphasize. That's what we're praying for all of you, for everyone who's listening. If you don't have a great relationship, just bring it to the Lord and then ask the Lord, you know, what it is that you can do differently. I have to also admit that the reason I had you explain why date night was so important is because I didn't think date night was important. I remember there being, because I always wanted to be surrounded by my kids, and when my kids weren't with me, I missed them. So if my husband would say to me, let's go to dinner, and I would finally say, okay, and we really didn't leave our kids when they were really little, so, you know, this is when they could stay home by themselves, and they were thrilled when we went out. Because they could watch whatever movie they want and have, you know, order pizza, let's just say. But I would get in the car, and the first thing I would say is, I miss the kids. And he would just look at me and go, well, you'll get over in a few minutes, you know. Like, that was like so, you know, I'm like so sad now that, you know, I should have maybe thought that. But I, you know, saying it out loud, and he knows every single thing I think. So that was one of the things. You know, he says he loves about me, but I don't know. But the point I'm making is that it took going to a marriage encounter. We had somebody come at church and say, yes, you know, we've got this marriage encounter retreat. Come see us over at the Paris Center and coffee and donuts. And all my friends are lamenting that they wish their husband would go, but there's no way. And then my husband coming over, bringing me a cup of coffee and saying, I signed us up. I said, you did what? And they're like all going, oh, he's the most amazing man in the world. You're just married to such a wonderful person that wants to deepen your life. And then he used that time to communicate to me that he did want to spend more time alone and that, you know, all of this stuff. So it was different. I mean, this is about 10 or 15 years into our marriage. Not that we had a bad marriage, just that I didn't think it was important. So if you're like me, ladies, and you're thinking that way, and for us it wasn't the lack of money because he had a really good income at that time, but neither one of us likes the very fancy, stuffy restaurants. We're both uncomfortable in those situations. And so I'm going to share my first one. But before I do that, Meredith, do you have any input of, you know, do you know of other people like me that always want to bring the kids along or?
Yeah, well, you know what? As soon as you were talking, Shine, my daughter, just wrote an article about love languages. And I thought immediately how some people, their love language is spending time, quality time alone together. And if they don't have that on a regular basis, then they feel really disconnected. Now, my love language is being around, like having people around that I love, but I can have 20 people I love in the room and they can all be doing their own thing, and just having them close by makes me feel loved. So everybody is really different in what makes them feel connected to people and loved by people. And so that is something, I mean, that's a whole nother radio show, I think, but.
Yes, I think I actually did one on love languages, and Jeff's is to spend time with
yes.
people or spend time. And mine is, so, let me bake you some cookies.
Yes.
let me do something for you. Yeah. So we did learn a lot about that through the years. You're right.
So anyway, I think that it's really important when you are, date night is the most important for people who that's their love language. I mean, it's important for all of us, but if it is, you know, someone's love language, like if it's your husband's love language, then it's really important to be enthusiastic when you go out with them so that they do feel loved because, you know, we're all very different. So.
Right. Well, the marriage encounter did bring me to my senses. So that really, and plus I had started getting very involved in a lot of committees and things. As a homeschooler, it turns out if you're capable, you immediately get drafted into these things. And that
yes.
was another thing he wanted me to say no to some things, and I agreed I would do that. So for me, the first thing, I'd like Shine's article link, and we'll put that in the show notes. So make a note to send me that, Meredith.
Yes.
So walks on the beach for us were the best way to start out. The beach is only 20 minutes from here. If it's season, and it's spring break and things like that, we don't go anywhere near the beach because it turns into an hour's traffic. But it's very close to our house, and we would find that if we would leave, and head to the beach, early evening and catch the sunset, and there's a Dairy Queen right by our beach. So, and that's Jeff's love language is I love ice cream. And so we would just go get ice cream, go walk on the beach, and then have chairs set up so that when we walked back, we could sit and watch the sunset. And it was really nice. It was, just peaceful. It was our time. Jeff's not a big night coffee drinker. He'll drink it in the morning and that's it. So it was not like, we were able to just go somewhere and sit and talk. But it was not even so much talking, but just being together and being with each other. So it was just a really beautiful, and there's something about the water for me. My dad always took us to this area when I was growing up for vacations. He liked to fish, and Mom and I just like to sit out in the sun and swim and everything, and my brothers all like to fish. So we would come down here a lot, and it just the water just brings back so many good memories for me. So that's kind of my number one.
That's awesome. And it's so peaceful to be at the beach and hearing the waves roll in. I love that. And that's something that Mike and I enjoy a lot too, is going on walks and going to pretty places to walk. Like, we've discovered a lot of different places that, maybe historic districts of cities to just walk around through them and maybe pop into some shops. You can do that in the middle of the day. I'm not a night person, so I so much more enjoy lunchtime dates or early evening dates. And so that's been a big thing. There's a place near us that's got a pier, and there's lots of boats docked there, and you can walk up and down the pier. And so there's a lot of places like that. So I would say walks is one of ours too, Felice, because there's something about walking together. There's that motion and rhythm of the walking, and you just end up talking about all kinds of things that, just come up, or you see something and you talk about it. And we've had so many good talks. In fact, you know me, if I have to talk to someone, I'll usually say to them, hey, let's go on a walk. So.
or if I say, could you call me? I have something, I really need to talk to you about. You'll say, can I call you after I go on a walk? You go on a walk and pray first.
Yes.
Yeah, filled up by the Lord in order to be able to respond. Okay, so that's wonderful, and it's funny. The one walks that I don't like are the major hikes. I know. I feel like we've done a lot of hikes as a family, and my niece just got married, and I love her to death. And yet, that's how we met. The other side of the family was on this huge family hike, and she's got two sisters, so there's only the three girls, but then, all the extended family, so the aunts and uncles on her side of the family, and then aunts and uncles on their side of the family, plus her husband has, I believe he has two sisters as well. I'm trying to think if he had two or three, but anyway, so it's like this huge group of people going on the hike. Well, the groom's mom is a great hiker, so we just thought, well, this is Texas and it's not in the mountains,
How hard can it be?
Right. So by the time we were done, we were exhausted, and coming down was not hard for me, but it was for my husband because he's had, hip stuff and whatever. But anyway, I was just laughing interiorly, hysterically going, hikes are just so overrated, because you just don't ever, because I know a lot of people do that too, so I'm glad yours are more like leisurely walks like mine are. But whatever that is, hopefully these will give you some ideas. The second for us is going to dinner, usually early, and we would just try different places. And then, you know, we would start with, you know, because, you know, of me wanting to like discuss maybe something that was going on. And he was just like, no, we're not, no business, you know, no nothing. We're just going to, you know, enjoy the evening. And then, but it would be places that, you know, were not chain restaurants. And I would just start asking friends. And it was amazing how we would find places that were like little out of the way restaurants that we didn't even know existed. So like it could be a sandwich place or, you know, there was a couple of Mexican restaurants that, you know, I never would have known that were there, except some of my friends, you know, were telling me about them and things like that. And it's just, you know, it was planned ahead of time. So we knew. And, when my kids were younger, we were blessed with a next door neighbor who was bored out of his skull half the time because his dad worked and his stepmom worked. So he loved coming over here because we had a swimming pool and, you know, he just loved, I mean, we'd find all kinds of forts and things built while we were gone. And I did not complain at all about any towels or anything I was building or putting away after they were done because the kids had such a great time with him. So I think that helped me as well, just having that in place. But the dinners were great. Jeff's not an adventurous eater. So it wasn't like we could try some, you know, like Thai food and things that I love, but you know, it still was just fun just to get away.
That's cool. One of the things that we discovered is when Mike was in seminary, we went to Regent University and they built this beautiful, beautiful hotel called Founders Inn. And it was really expensive. So, I mean, we could not go there for dinner. But when we were trying to figure out what to do one night, we just said, let's just go to the hotel and we'll walk around in the hotel. And we ended up just stopping in the little snack bar coffee shop and we had a cup of coffee and some dessert. And so after that became something that we would do. Like we would, you know, visit like really nice restaurants or really, you know, nice hotels. And we would just have coffee and a dessert. And sometimes like we could only afford a cup of coffee each and to split a dessert. But it was nice because the location was beautiful. And, you know, they have plenty of customers, so they're not going to be angry that you're just getting coffee and pastry. So, you know, now they have places like that. Back then, you know, it wasn't like you couldn't go to Starbucks or stuff like that. Well, I'm really dating myself. But anyway, that was something that we really enjoyed doing, was just going out for dessert and coffee. It was a lot more, it was a lot less expensive. But we found that even in really nice places, we could afford to have dessert and coffee.
That's wonderful. And, you know, Jeff, like I said, is not a coffee drinker, but he would definitely go split dessert with me. Except I cook so much dessert in this family that it kind of sometimes backfires. But one thing that I did teach my children to do, and that was cook. And this is really date night on the cheap. And your kids will love it because mine did. And I remember telling the kids one day that Daddy and I were going to eat in, but they were going to cook dinner for us and that they were going to plan a meeting and it was going to be a surprise for Dad. So, so they did, they cooked dinner and, you know, I told them that I had ordered pizza for them. So they ate earlier. He was going to be late and because my husband is not very late at night, you know, a night person because he works in construction, so they're home early. So I had to wait because he also does home inspections, and those tend to be a little bit later if he does them after work. So anyway, the kids, you know, had their pizza already, and they had made us dinner. And so, you know, it was quite an eclectic meal, to say the least, you know, macaroni and cheese, baked beans out of a can, and grilled hot dogs. But I was fine with that, you know. And so, like, they even had grilled the hot dogs and put them in the microwave to keep warm and everything else. And so when, you know, Jeff came home and was like, well, where's the kids? And I said, well, they made us dinner, and they're going to – you go get your shower, and then they're going to put it out. And he just kind of looked at me, and he goes, do I get candlelight? I said, if you don't stop, you are going to get candlelight. So anyway, so they brought dinner out, and then they pretended to bow and then walked out, you know.
Oh, that's so cute.
Of course, half the meal we're sitting there just cracking up because, you know, they were – and we don't have TV in the rooms. I just always had vetoed that. Now I'm going to have to say, now that I've got an adult – My one adult child does have a television in his room, and that's fine because he's the backbone of our construction business, so he's allowed to have. It doesn't even work with cable. He watches, you know, videos on how to make things is what all he ever watches on that. But anyway, so I can't even tell you. I don't remember. It was, you know, long ago. And they did that several times, but that was like the one major meal. They got better at the meals as time went on. But, you know, it was really sweet, and he could just relax and, you know, take off his shoes, and, you know, we enjoyed our meal, and, you know, it wasn't this big, you know, expensive thing, but it was like, a, you know, making a memory. My uncle had 15 kids, I think, in his family. He's from Italy. And I always remember him. I wish I had a picture of his family, because his mother was radiantly beautiful. She just was, aww, you know, he's a very handsome man too. But I remember seeing the picture of the whole family one time and couldn't believe that, you know, there were that many kids. But, you know, and they grew up dirt poor, and the father died when he was young. But he used to always say to me, you have to make memories with your children, because when you get old, that's all you have are memories. And right. So that always stuck with me. You know, my kids will always remember how they made us dinner at home. And being Italian, food is a very big focus for our family. You know, it's what my dad used to say, you know, Americans eat to live, Italians live to eat. You know, that was like what his big difference in the cultures. But, and so for us, everything surrounded the meal. And so I think that was, you know, important for us. Have your kids ever made you a meal?
Yes, and that brings back memories, because they've done it a lot to surprise us on our anniversary. They've made us breakfast, they've made us dinners, and yeah, they put out the lace tablecloths and, you know, decorated, and, you know, so that's been really, really special. I love that. And you're right about that, because you remember that, and it's so good for them to do things to serve. One of the traditions that my kids started, apart from me, was to make breakfast in bed for the birthday person. So, and I think that kind of sprang out of that. But I love looking back at those times, because they were so excited, and, you know, they really did a good job. My girls, I have four girls and then a son, so my girls love beautiful things. So if they ever did it for us, they lavished like the linen napkins and the china and, you know, all of that stuff, which made me a little nervous, you know, oh, they got the china down. But it was really special. And the next two that I'm going to share are both anniversary date night, so they're kind of special, but you could use them anytime. But they were born out of the fact that when my husband was in seminary and then some other seasons of our life, we were just very, very poor. And there were months that you know, we really didn't have grocery money. We were trusting God to provide. And it just, you know, it was a really adventurous time in our life. And one of the things that I noticed during that time was that so many of the ways that we celebrate special occasions and holidays are driven by the media. And so, you know, the restaurants and jewelry stores and all of these places are selling products. And so they have almost defined what's romantic or defined what is a celebration. And so one of the things I felt like when Mike was in seminary and we had those rough financial times is like, okay, let's redefine what it means to celebrate an anniversary or what it means to be alone together. And that's what was so exciting to find out. Like, you don't have to spend a lot of money to celebrate. And so the first one was, this was when Mike was in seminary and he was working at UPS. So he'd get up at 3 a.m, he'd go work at UPS. Then he would make it to his 8:30 Greek class. And it was just, I mean, and I had two little babies. So it was very, very busy. It was very, you know, challenging. But it came time. It was our anniversary. And I remember he was taking classes, but he had a break for 2 hours. So I packed up this picnic basket and I made, you know, sandwiches. And then I thought, you know what? I packed in the picnic basket china plates, silverware, real silverware, and I wrapped up some wine glasses and put in some sparkling cider. And so instead of just going on a picnic and eating on paper plates because it was our anniversary, I met him at the school. And I even brought a tablecloth. We put a pretty tablecloth on the little wooden picnic bench and I pulled out the china plates and I pulled out the, you know, the wine glasses, the champagne glasses, and we just sat and we ate our sandwiches. Oh, and, you know, cloth napkins and the whole thing. And it was really special because it added a festive touch that cost nothing. And, you know, I look around my house sometimes and I think I have so many nice things. Why do I think I can only use them on certain special occasions or in certain places? Because, you know, if they break, they break. You know what I'm saying? Right. So anyway, right. That was really special. And he was really touched that I would go to so much trouble and I would bring those to him. And it was a really special special meal there, and it was outside, and you know, it was very nice.
Well, one of the books that I wanted to highlight, Meredith, because that reminded me when you were talking about you know, doing something special, is you've got a book, your newest cookbook, and that's Travel God's World Cookbook. And you can find it, and I'm going to put the link on, because it's too long to read out, but it's Travel God's World Cookbook by Meredith Curtis. And just tell us a little bit about what's in there, Meredith.
Oh, that book is so exciting because it is basically going continent to continent on each continent, several countries from a continent, and all kinds of dishes from those continents. So one of the things I love to travel, and I haven't been all around the world yet, but I hope to. I don't know. I mean, that would be in the Lord's hands. But it starts out with, you know, if you visit this country, you'll have to visit these places, you'll have to try these dishes. And then it gives you a few of those dishes that you can try making on your own. So we've had such a good time putting together that cookbook. We learned to make bobo tea. We learned to make bobotie from South Africa, or I probably said that wrong. We learned to make just all kinds of neat dishes and putting together spices for different dishes. And, of course, my very favorite flan recipe.
Oh, my gosh, I love that stuff.
I do, too.
Yeah,
so it was such a fun cookbook to put together. And we've been actually using that cookbook this year in our homeschool co-op because we're studying geography. So every month we have a feast from one continent, the continent that we're studying, and people bring different dishes from different countries in that continent. So anyway, it's got, you know, if you can just use it, you can use it for your family, for your hubby, but if you're studying geography, there are flags in there and information about the country. So it's not only really fun, but it's educational as well.
That is wonderful. I'm also going to mention another cookbook, and we'll also put that link in, but we are going to be doing another episode called Easter Celebrations on the Cheap, and we will mention it then as well. But if you wanted to get started ahead of time on that, you've got Ancient History Cookbook and Ancient History Timeline that you wanted to share with us. And then you also have one. Do you have one on Easter? I'm looking to see. You have
I have a free Easter devotion book that you can find on my JS Homeschooling website, and there's a page called Free Ebooks, and those are just ebooks that you can download. We just recently redid our website, the Joyful and Successful Homeschooling website. There's a few pages not up yet, but most of them are up, and it's really a great website. But yes, awesome. Ancient History Cookbook and Timeline go back to creation and go from creation to the fall of Rome. So they've got history information in the cookbook a lot. It's written up about the different time periods and then recipes that go along. Some of the recipes are based on old recipes that we found and then adapted, and some of them are just created with in mind what foods they grew and ate. So, you know, some of them are authentic recipes and some of them are just, you know, and then some of them are just fun, like mummy dogs where you wrap a hot dog up like a mummy for ancient Egypt. So a lot of fun. That cookbook is a lot of fun. And again, in our family, we just love to learn in the kitchen and we love to make, cook historical recipes and things from other places. So
that's great. Okay. And then my last one is not necessarily that cheap, but I'm going to share with you some ways that you can get it cheap. And that is to go away for just one night with your spouse. And a lot of us live in areas that, well, we do. We live in an area that has, you know, like people come from all over the world to visit, you know, Southwest Florida, or you're up by Orlando. So, I mean, our coasts are visited quite heavily. And so it depends on the time of the year. You wouldn't think winter would be a great time of the year, but it's not here, but summer is. And so a lot of times nobody wants to come in the sweltering heat. And you can find places on the beach or on the waterway for, you know, one third or one quarter the normal price. And so look for these deals. For travel, because I've had to travel lately a lot, and we always laugh and say, I've never been anywhere. My parents had a full-time business. We have full-time businesses. We just did not travel a lot, although I love to. Yes, I've been to Italy. But, you know, we didn't just, like, go around to the states and visit different states. And even with my husband's business, we were very limited to where, like, relatives lived. So recently, because I've had to go look at a lot of schools because of my kids and sports, I found things like Skyscanner that you can put up alerts so that I could find $100 round trip tickets from Florida to Boston, BWI, to go visit my daughter, you know, and that's round trip, or $50 one way or something like that. So I thought, you know, if I can do that with travel, you know, I should be able to do this with hotels. And we were going, so, and I hate to even say this, but Jeff and I realized when we did this that, and this was a couple of years ago, that we really have not gotten away alone since we got married. You know, we've been on short little trips or like a religious retreat, but not just to go be by ourselves. You know, it was always for something. You were going to a religious conference or, you know, and it's horrible, right? I'm so surprised that this man,
yes.
We're just happy to be together. And I know that just sounds so silly, but we don't have to go anywhere to be happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so it's even just sitting out on the porch or, you know, having some time alone here and there has always been just fine. But I'm happy too as well, surrounded by family. But anyway, I found this hotel on the way to where it was on the other coast, but for $50 Oceanside. And when we got there, it was a Holiday Inn, and I was shocked at walking in the lobby. My breath was taken away because we could see the waves of the ocean, because your coast has the waves. Our coast is flatlands. We're in the
right.
Gulf of Mexico. And it was gorgeous. I just stood there, and Lee's like, may I help you? You know, Jeff had to give him the last name because I was just like, oh, my gosh, there's the beach. So then I said to the lady, I said, do you know of a good restaurant? And she goes, do you like seafood? And I said, I do. And Jeff's idea of seafood is fried fish. he'll order whatever your cheapest fried white fish is. And I'm just like, can you just please, like, look on the menu and just not say all that? But anyway, and she goes, well, yes, you can walk down the beach 1 mile. There's a pier, like a fishing pier, and there's a restaurant there. So anyway, we got this hotel for $50 and walked to dinner, and it was like the best fish ever. And I had to take pictures of where we were because we're on this pier, and I finally, like, at one point I said to Jeff, was that water I felt on my feet? We looked down through the slats, and indeed it was, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Open underneath, yeah. And we would watch people walk through this restaurant, you know, to go fishing at the other end. It was very, like, the clam chowder was, like, some of the best I've ever eaten, but it was served in styrofoam cups. I am a conservative person with paper plates and things, but you know, I don't flip out if I'm having a paper plate, but I don't like styrofoam. So, but it was, you know, I even forgave that because the food was so good. But it was so inexpensive. And so I bookmarked that place, and I've looked and looked and looked, and it's like every time I look, it's over hundreds of dollars or $100. And, you know, this time of year, it's probably $250. But I mean, you can find these deals, and the balcony to this hotel was open because a lot of times the balconies are not open anymore. And we just, after dinner, we walked back. We just sat out there in the morning. We had coffee in our room and just looked out there, and it was so nice. So, you know, we were actually going somewhere else, we just didn't want to drive all the way, but. But, you know, I was really excited that there are those deals out. And if you put alerts out, like on Travelocity and some of these other places, you can find some really good deals. And on that note, when my son and I recently flew to check out a college, I think I was sharing with you, Meredith, the price more than doubled the second time I looked at it. And, you know, clear your cash and all that stuff, because I feel like every time you look at an airline, it keeps going up and up. So I ended up doing one of those things that told us what the airfare would be, which was back to less than half the price, but it wouldn't let us, it gave us dates we could pick, but it would not let me pick the times. So and it's non-refundable, but I was like, we don't really have a choice. I'm not going to pay, I can't afford double the ticket. You know, there's
right.
no way we can fly there. You know, and so I'm going to have to do this. And Mike had to miss class, but it turned out that that ended up working fabulously because not only was it less than half the price of the ticket, but we also got there at 5 at night instead of 10 at night, which was the other one I had looked at. And the other one we would have been flying out at night, and we got to fly out in the morning. So if you have a little bit of leeway, I know it's kind of scary. And then another friend of mine does those, you don't know how much the price is till you do it, hotel. And she says the prices have always been fabulous. So, you know, it just helps. You know, I think it makes the whole trip better when you feel like you've saved money.
I agree. And, you know, they have Groupon. I have all of those cheap travel places that come, Travelzoo, Groupon, all of those things. But
well, maybe send me those links too, or we can do another one on traveling because now.
Yeah, we should do one on travel on the cheap.
Yes,
but it is when you have a big family, you have to go as cheap as possible. Now, here is something when you were talking about going to a hotel. When we were first married, we lived in Arizona. Same thing. Nothing going on in the winter. I mean, in the summer, you know, who wants to go to Arizona when it's 115 degrees? So we ended up taking a really romantic weekend in this huge resort on a mountain on the outskirts of Phoenix. And it was beautiful and it was so cheap just because it was the summer. And we had a great time. And then when my husband was a youth pastor, you know, when Mike was in seminary, we didn't really have any money, but our teens got together one Christmas and they gave us two nights away in a hotel. So that was so cool. So we just constantly, and then after, you know, after those lean days were over, we made it a point to get away and have some time together because those are just really special memories. There's something about being in a different location and spending the night there that allows you to kind of get your perspective back and put some of the troubles or worries at home away from you. So we really enjoyed that. And my last one is something I did, again, for an anniversary, but it would make such a great Valentine's Day night. Again, we were in a situation we didn't have any money. So I found, and this was years later, like was when there was that huge turn in the economy like 10 years ago or something. And it was just like, it just kind of hit us really hard. And because we're self-employed, you know, it just hit us really hard. So I dug out our old love letters from college. And then I picked out like our favorite romantic songs and we couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't even afford to go for coffee. But we went to this pretty park by a lake. And we read the love letters to each other by flashlight. And then we put on, we brought along a little CD player, and then we danced in the moonlight at this lake. And it was so romantic, and it was so nice. And it was just a really special date. And it was born, you know, I think it was one of the most romantic nights we ever had as a couple. Aww. And yet it was born of necessity, like just because we couldn't afford to do anything else. So anyway, that was really special. And I think one of the things as we're talking about, you know, date nights and things is that you don't have to have a perfect relationship. You don't have to get everything fixed in your spouse or become the perfect person. But when you take time to enjoy your friendship and you take time to just do things that are romantic and do things that are refreshing, it can really put new life into your marriage. So I hope you guys will really take that to heart and spend some time together as couples on a date.
And we also want to hear from you. What are some of your date nights on the cheap? You can go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, look for podcast 253, Date Nights on the Cheap, and add your comments there. And then we're going to have links to all of Mira's books. And I have a membership site, Media Angels Membership. And you can find all kinds of books of mine there, as well as my books are on Amazon as well. So just research my name and you'll find all kinds of books there. Meredith, I want to thank you for coming on. I've missed having some episodes. We took a few months off, and I'm happy to come back, and I'm also happy to do Easter on the Cheap coming up, and then travel. We'll do that. We're always thinking on our feet anyway. So,
yes.
thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Felice. It's been awesome, and what a great topic. And I'll look forward to being with you next time.
Great.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.